I want to share with you this morning some thoughts from the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Today being Mother's Day, I'd like for us to look at two women in the Word of God. They were sisters. I want us to notice something concerning these two sisters that I believe is very important, not only in the life of a mother, but also in all of our lives. So it's not a message just for mamas this morning. I want to speak to you today on balancing your duty and your devotion. There needs to be balance in your life. We all know very well this morning that if we're out of balance, we do not have our balance machine working in our minds, it is very difficult to walk. If you've ever had a time when you've had the, I can just call them the dizzies, whatever you might refer to it as, and you're just not steady on your feet. And sometimes you might be walking and you're going that way, but you're kind of going this way. And you know what I'm talking about. We need good balance. My mother, at a very early age, had a hearing, had a drum in her ear punctured. As a result of that particular injury, she had a ringing in her ears constantly, or in her one ear. Because of the ringing, she could not hear well out of one side, and so if you wanted to talk to her, you many times would have to move to the other side if you were on the wrong side. As a result of that, sometimes she would have a balance issue because it's our ears that regulate our equilibrium, our balance. In later life, she had the one ear removed, not the outer, but the inner ear, that she might get rid of the ringing noise because she couldn't hear anyways. And so they did that, and she had to learn to walk again because of the balance issue. God wants us to be in balance. You and I realize that we can go too far in something on one side and we can go too far on the other side. I do not believe in compromise, but I do believe walking in the middle of the road is the safest, unless there's a big truck coming. But we need to walk with balance. And so I want to talk to you today, preach to you on the subject of balance from the book of Luke, chapter number 10. And we're going to look at two ladies. You know the story well. I want to read verses 38 down to 42 about Mary and Martha. And so let's notice here. Verse 38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Now, Father, we have come today because we're needy. There are so many doctrines and issues from your word that need to be dealt with. But Lord, you have laid this into my heart this day. I pray, O God, that you would today speak to other hearts. I pray, O Lord, that you today would minister to each and every one. Spirit of God, that you would bring comfort, that you might bring conviction. Lord God, I pray that you might this day show us the need of our soul and where that need can be met, for we know that it's really only in you. Oh God, today, make yourself real to every individual. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. As the Lord Jesus and the disciples came to this home in Bethany, we find that they were given a tremendous lesson that I don't believe that they would soon forget. the story that we have recorded here became a visual lesson to the disciples as well as to you and I of the necessity of balance in the ministry. The Bible says, "Let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand." There must be in our lives a moderation. There must be a balance. For we can get ourselves too far on one side or too far on the other side and be completely out of kilter. For instance, the Bible teaches us that a mother is to love her child. But yet we find that a mother is to hate sin and hate sin in her child. I believe that the hand that opens to bring a hug to that child must also grip tight to the rod that must be used on occasion to the backside. You say, "Preacher, do you believe in spanking a child?" Don't you? Don't you believe the Bible? Don't you believe what God says when He talks about taking the rod into your hand? I just happen to believe God. I believe He knows more about it than the psychotics. Oh, let me rephrase that. The psychologists and the psychoanalysts. God knows what He's talking about. And that hand that grips that child with a hug also, on occasion, must pick up the old spatula and apply it in other places than in the bowl. And let that child know that he's loved, but also that the sin in his life is not appreciated. You see, we cannot be too far on one side and not far enough on the other. To always love and to always hug without using the paddle, my Bible says, is not to love the child. It's actually to hate the child. I believe the psalmist understood this wonderful principle in the book of Psalm chapter 23 and one of the great psalms of the Word of God. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," referring to the rest that God wants us to have. But in that same verse, in the same sentence, he says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Not only to the place of rest, but also the place of sustenance and the place of service. And so we find today that God has for you and I a place of balance in our lives. A good mother must balance some things. And a good father must balance some things. A person in leadership must balance some things. May I say today that you and I need to have good balance. When Jesus visited their home, Martha saw an opportunity for service. She took that opportunity and began to prepare a wonderful meal for the Lord and His disciples. But what Martha saw was not what Mary saw, for Mary, in those moments, saw an opportunity for worship. As one came to the point of service and wanted to serve the Lord, the other saw an opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to hear Him speak. What's interesting to me is that the Lord doesn't really rebuke either for what they've done. But He reminds Martha of something, and that is, there is something better. There is something better. The Lord Jesus, when He rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees, He said, "Ye pay a tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." He says, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You see, there are things that are necessary to do, but there are greater things. If we're not careful, we find ourselves in this place of Marthaism. I find today that we are living in a time when this Martha spirit is very prevalent. We are prone to set about to accomplish the seeable. We're very prone to want to be busy and to accomplish. And by the way, there is nothing wrong with being busy and accomplishing. But there is something wrong if we do not have a balance. We want our buildings to be practical and ornate. We want our services in church to be run with a dignified and a proper mode about it. We want our appearance to be fashionable. And we want all of these kinds of things as far as the eye can see. But sometimes we forget that we don't worship with the eye, but we worship with what? Truth and spirit. And so you and I today are so prone to be in this same kind of a spirit as with her. The other night I made a visit, and as I was visiting the home, my pants came up and they looked, and I had on a blue sock and a black sock. And it was said to me, "Do you realize that you have on two colors of socks?" And I said, "Do you realize I have another pair back at the house that are exactly like these?" And I use that illustration because sometimes we get so prone to look at the seeable that we don't realize there are more important things. And what was appreciated on my part was, it wasn't that. It was the fact that the fellowship was available. And we can overlook my stupidity and my eyesight when it comes to socks. And Q, I now understand your dilemma a few weeks ago. Oftentimes, we're more interested as churches in the numbers of people than the purity of the doctrine. Consider this for a moment. As Martha is serving, and she's so busy about this, Mary is listening to the Word of God. She's listening to the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. She is taking this all in, and she is being plummeted by her sister for this particular action. And oftentimes that is really what it's about in our churches today. It's more about the numbers than it is about what is within the numbers that are there. Do you realize this morning we could have 10,000 in church and 3 of them know the Lord, and all of them walk out without Jesus Christ? While at the same time there might be 10 in a situation and there's 9 of them who know the Lord, and the 10th one is being drawn very close because they have a fellowship with Christ. Too often we focus upon the externals and we end up making Christ the entertainment. That be true in our churches. It be true in so much of our area of ministry. Oftentimes we think that ministers are made because they have college degrees. No, it's about what's in the heart. Many times we believe that missionaries, they are made up by mission boards. No, a mission heart given to them by God. Sometimes we believe that mission work is carrying on a particular program. No, it's individuals. Do you folks realize that tonight, that as we gather, this morning, as we gather on Wednesday nights, and we have a program we call Master Clubs. It's not the program, it's the people that make the difference. It's those individuals that are ministering one to another. All must have the heart of God. And those who have that, God then can wonderfully use. What is He saying here? He's saying, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." He said, that is okay. He does not condemn her for that. He is saying, you need something else that Mary has found. By the way, He is not condoning Mary's inaction by any step of the way. But He is trying to show us something that is very, very important. We often think that if we are busy enough, that we are in the work of God. Do you realize the work of God not just being busy? It is having that time that you're alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an injury about the spirit of Martha that happens in our churches and happens in our lives. And that is, we forget something that's very important. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 4 goes through Samaria. The Bible says He must needs go to Samaria. That's an interesting... And as He goes to Samaria, we find that there is a woman that comes to the well upon which He is resting. And we call her the woman at the well. And this woman begins to talk to the Lord Jesus. I mean, He begins the conversation. And through all of that, we find that this woman goes back to the city, brings the men of the city back to the Lord Jesus Christ. When it's all said and done, the disciples are concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're wondering if He has had anything to eat. And what is interesting is that the Lord Jesus says, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." A verse later He says, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." He is saying there is something that is more valuable than that which just sees our eyes. He is saying there's a ministry that I have, and that ministry is to go unto others. But at the same time, He is saying, "I stopped at the well to rest." And in that, God wonderfully wrought. The spiritual ought to always take precedence over the physical. I love prayer meetings. I believe it's one of the greatest things that happens to our church as we gather together for prayer. And by the way, I believe it is as important of a service as the AM service, the PM service, or Sunday school, or Wednesday night. I believe it's a regularly scheduled thing. I believe it's something that we have a responsibility to and a privilege to be involved with. And as we gather for prayer and pray one for another and seek after our God one with another, we have the privilege to ask God for a myriad of things. Many years ago, when we would gather for prayer, most of the time what I would hear was, I would hear about this person who's sick and that person who's sick and this person who's had an operation, that person who's gone through this and this situation. And nothing wrong with that. When you're sick, you want people praying for you. Amen. When you're down, you want that in your life. But what was missing and what is sometimes so inadequate in our prayer life is the recognition there is something far more important than the healing of somebody's body. And that is that their soul might be renewed or that their spirit enlivened. What can be more important than a person get saved and have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we have that wonderful privilege to be in prayer over those. But so often, not only in our daily walk are we more concerned with the physical, but we're also more concerned with it even in our prayer times. We will take more time to prepare food than we will to prepare our soul for a service. And how shameful that is that we allow that in our lives. That's the injury of a Martha spirit that comes upon us. And quite frankly, brethren, it makes us self-centered, believing that we're more important than our Lord when it focuses in such a way. Too much ministry and too little fellowship promotes self. Too much fellowship and too little ministry does the same thing. You know, what we need is not only that which is taking outward, but also that which is bringing inward. If we're going to give to folks, we need to have that which is coming in. And so the necessity is there, not only for the ministry, but also for the fellowship. The necessity is there to not only work for the Lord, but allow the Lord to work in us. Balance is a key. Mamas, do your work, but take time with the Lord. Susanna Wesley had 17 children. Can you imagine? Number 15 and number 17 became famous preachers, Charles and John Wesley. Her practice on every birthday was to set the day aside, leave the older children in charge, and spend the day in prayer for that one child. Now do we see why those two men turned their world upside down? Because there was a mama that understood there are many, many needs that must take place in their physical beings, but there is also that spiritual. By the way, dads, don't be irresponsible. That is your job too. Matter of fact, God puts you in charge of doing that, not abdicating the responsibility. But oh, we might look at the spirit of Mary and behold the beauty of it. Mary's fruits, I believe, ripened very quickly. Mary's takes some time. We find that when the Lord Jesus Christ came and Lazarus was in the tomb, Martha runs to meet him. Mary is still at the house. We find a later time that they come. And in that time that the Lord Jesus Christ comes, she who pondered, she who waited, is the one who also took the oil and anointed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus looked at Mary and He made comment with these words, "She hath kept this for my burial." Here's a woman who understood that there is, I don't believe a lazy woman, that there was the practical, but she understood that there was something that was far greater, and that was those moments that she had opportunity for to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. She was one who then began to understand that He was going to die and be buried and arise again. "She hath kept this for my burial." Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ commend her for what she did, but He also said, "This was planned ahead of time. She kept it for this special time." What was it? Mary had a spirituality about her. She looked at Him in a much more true order than did her sister Martha. Martha saw the opportunity for service, and Martha served, and Martha worked. And most of us, we are in that particular mode. But how we need to stop and to realize we need also the Spirit of Mary. That which is willing to take that time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Moms, if you want your children to be used of God, sit at Jesus' feet. Allow Him to mold you and to make you into that spiritual individual that they will behold and marvel at. Christian, if you want revival to come to this church and to your life, don't look to the methods of man. Don't wonder who preached at a certain church and boy, they had tremendous results. But sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the need of the hour. What does it say in that verse? "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." And notice what He says, "which shall not be taken away from her." You cannot remove a developed spirit that has walked and talked with Jesus. Is needed in our hour. The prevalency to serve and to not take the time for devotion and really be out of balance, it is horrendous. And how we must understand it brings injury. It does not bring us the results that are needed. And there is a wonderful beauty about the Spirit of Mary. And Christian, while you're serving, never, ever, ever badmouth the individual who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. For the Lord said, they have chosen the best part. Let me ask you today, what part have you chosen? Martha was not wrong. She was just not completely right. Mary chose that which you and I need to choose. That will not happen if we're not saved. It will not happen if we do not wish for the Lord to bring sanctification in our lives. God only moves as we allow Him to do so. You see, Martha was not made to sit down with Jesus. Mary wanted it. And there is the difference between the two sisters. What's your desire today?